I'm going to read from Psalm 91, which is going to be a part of what we look at later on in our service. We're going to be thinking later about how we respond to this pandemic. As Christians, what should our responses be? So Psalm 91, if you've got a Bible, do please turn to it at home. And I'm going to read through the psalm for us now. And then we'll come back to it later in the service, God willing, to see how that fits in with helping us with how we respond to this pandemic. So Psalm 91 says this: "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, 'The Lord is my refuge,' and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." We're going to turn to God's word now. We had the reading from Psalm 91 before. As we work through the next few minutes, as we try and address this question of how do we face plagues and pestilence, as I've called it, we're going to move around our Bibles. We're going to look at some different verses in different places to try and get a bit of a whole picture of some of the responses we should have. So I'd encourage you again, if you've got a Bible, maybe on your phone or maybe a paper Bible, do have it sort of there with you. We're going to share some of the verses on the screen, but there'll be occasions where it's helpful just to look either side of the verses that appear on the screen itself. I was reading a novel in the summer called Gilead and came across these words: "People don't talk much now about the Spanish influenza, but that was a terrible thing. And it struck just at the time of the Great War, just when we were getting involved in it. It killed the soldiers by the thousands, healthy men in the prime of life. And then it spread into the rest of the population. It was like a war, it really was. One funeral after another, right here in Iowa, that the novel was set in the United States. We lost so many of the young people, and we got off pretty lightly. People came to church wearing masks, if they came at all. They'd sit as far from each other as they could. There was talk that the Germans had caused it with some sort of secret weapon, and I think people wanted to believe that, because it saved them from reflecting on what other meaning it might have." I was really struck by those words as I read them, just reading a novel in the summer, that 100 years ago, people had faced the same kind of thing we are facing today. when we were back in church wearing masks, sitting far apart from each other. Thankfully, we've not faced the death toll that they faced back then. But this pandemic, although it's a new experience for us, it's not a new experience for humankind. Plagues and pandemics aren't new. And we're going to spend the next 3 weeks particularly trying to think through how do we respond in the circumstances in which we find ourselves. This week, facing plagues and pestilence, which is the words the Bible uses for the virus that we're facing today. Next week, we'll be thinking about how do we respond to the government as they sort of bring in different rules or laws or regulations for how we're to go about life. And the week after that, we'll be thinking about how do we learn to lament? How do we bring to God some of the losses that we've endured this year? So this week, how do we face this pandemic according to the Bible? Well, we're going to look at three things beginning with the letter R. And the first one is this: repent. Repent. This is perhaps a surprising place to start. But when we trace the mentions of plagues and pestilence through the Bible, we see that they never occur randomly, but rather are used by God as a tool to restrain evil and to urge repentance. Now, we've made lots of references to God being sovereign over these past few months, quite rightly. That has brought us a reassurance, a peace. He's still in control. It's what the Bible tells us. God is always fully in control. And so that raises the question, doesn't it? Even when a plague or a pandemic or a virus comes, is that within God's control? Well, the Bible says yes. And as we read of different plagues and pestilences through the Bible, we see that God was at work to use them for his purposes. Sometimes plagues against his own people, Israel, because of a sin they'd committed. To try and bring them to their senses, turn their hearts back to the Lord, to trust him, to follow him, to obey him. Sometimes plagues were used against other nations. Think of Egypt just before the Exodus, the plagues that Moses warned them would come. And here because of this, we can't do that. We've not got the insight. God doesn't tell us that clearly today, why certain things happen. But we do know generally that viruses come into this world because our world is under God's judgment. Revelation shows us this. We're going to jump into Revelation chapter 6. And here we see some of God's judgment on the world. It's a passage in the Bible that describes some seals being opened as God's judgment is brought forward on this earth for the rebellion against him. And we read of the quite famous four horses of the apocalypse, as they've been named. But as we read of them, we see these aren't things that are going to happen in the future. These are things that are happening today. And so Revelation 6 and verse 8, John, who's seeing these things, this is being revealed to him, says this: I looked, and there before me was a pale horse. Its rider was named Death, and Hades was following close behind him. They were given power over a fourth of the earth to kill by sword, famine, and plague, and by the wild beasts of the earth. It's really sobering, isn't it? It's not what we naturally think, which is why we often pray for God to intervene in times like these. But what if he's already involved? What if this virus is under his control? Something that he has allowed, something that's happening in this world because we're under his judgment. Well, then, rather than asking for him to intervene, we cry out instead that he would relent, that he would show mercy. And the Bible doesn't leave us wondering if God will be merciful. It tells us how we can be sure of his mercy, how what we might do to receive his mercy. In Luke's gospel, Jesus is confronted by people who are speaking to him about some disasters that have just taken place. They're sort of making the question of, if something bad happens to someone, is that because of a sin they specifically did? And Jesus helps us with this virus in terms of how should we respond. This is in Luke chapter 13. I'll read from verse 1. It says, "Now there were some present at that time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. Jesus answered, 'Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish.' Or the 18 who died when the tower in Siloam fell on them, do you think they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish." They were awful tragedies that had happened in Jerusalem. The Galileans, whose blood had been mixed with their sacrifices, that speaks of a massacre that's taken place. Those in the tower that had collapsed, the 18. Just a tragedy. Imagine the families touched by that disaster that day. But Jesus says, look, don't think those people are particularly guilty and therefore they've been struck down because of their particular guilt. No, these things are warnings to all of us that we're all guilty. And we all need to repent. Coronavirus, COVID-19, reminds us of our mortality. It reminds us that life is fragile. And it's a warning to us. A call that we repent before it's too late. To repent means to turn away from our sin, the rebellion against God, the things we're doing that he's not pleased with, that he's said no to. To turn from thinking we're in charge, we're in control. To say sorry, to turn back to God. To seek to follow him, to worship him. It's the call that we hear throughout Mark's gospel as we've been following the Lord Jesus over these last months, discovering who Jesus is, but hearing from him that call to repent. And COVID comes as an early warning system, an alarm call. God's final judgment is coming. Heed the warning. See that the suffering that goes on in this broken world, hear the groaning. And recognize we're under God's judgment. That's really sobering, isn't it? We don't often like to think in that way, but the Bible's really clear. We're in this broken, fallen world that is under God's curse, under his judgment. And that's why things like this virus happen. Have you repented? Have you turned to God and said sorry for your sin? Have you done that? Can I plead with you today, please? This virus is still around. It's still out there. The vaccine is still a little way off. The infection can still be picked up. We don't know how long we've got to live. And if it's not the virus, there's all sorts of other things we can't presume upon. Having weeks and months and years ahead of us. Are you right with God? Have you repented of your sin? If you have, then you don't need to fear his judgment. He says that's all it takes. Just repent and you're forgiven. Same is true for us as a church. As we've gone through this period of trial under coronavirus, one of the things we should have done as a church is to have repented for our sin as a church, for the part we play in society, for the ways that our society has gone against God. Repentance and faith are the shape of the Christian life. Not just the beginning, but the ongoing. We go on in repentance and faith. Or, to use our second R, we go on in repentance and rest. Rest. We say sorry for our sin, we turn from our sin, and we can rest. We don't have to put things right. We don't have to be good enough for God. We don't have to earn his forgiveness. We can rest. We've become familiar this year, haven't we, with a new term, the furlough scheme, where someone's not able to work and they're put on furlough. They're still going to get paid even though they're not working. That's not a perfect picture, because actually to be on furlough is hard and brings a sense of vulnerability about what the future will hold. But in some ways it shows us what it is to be a Christian, to be on furlough. We don't need to earn our salvation. We don't need to earn our favour with God. We don't need to work. No, God's done the work for us, or more specifically, Jesus, through going to the cross, dying in our place. We trust in his work. And we receive the benefits. We receive the rewards. We can rest. These are the words we find in Psalm 91 that I read earlier. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. Now, we can read this psalm wrongly if we just lift it out of the Bible, if we ignore the rest of the Bible and what we're taught elsewhere. We can take this psalm to mean, if you become a Christian, nothing bad will ever happen to you. You'll live a long life. Coronavirus won't touch you. There's no danger in this world you should think is going to get you. But that's not what the psalm is saying. In fact, in verse 15, it mentions that we will face trouble in this life. And the rest of the Bible makes that very clear. And Jesus himself, when Satan spoke this psalm to him as he tempted him, Jesus didn't take the psalm to mean that. But it is speaking of the safety we have in God's hands, ultimately. It's got the eternal perspective in view, that God is with us in our trouble and will bring us through to safety. And as we look ahead to that safety and know of that eternity, we can rest in the present. Verse 15, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We will face trouble in this life. We were reminded of that last week, weren't we, as we thought of our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. Indeed, there's a sense in which if you become a Christian, if you trust in the Lord Jesus, it's likely you'll face more trouble in this life. But as Christians, we can rest under the shelter of God's wings. We know that ultimately we are safe. Death has been defeated by the Lord Jesus. There is eternity beyond. Yeah, the danger still lurks. We still need to be careful with this pandemic around, but we need not fear as we face this pandemic. 24/7 news can lead to anxiety, can't it? As we hear again and again the statistics, the facts, the dangers. You know, you don't have to watch the news every day. Nothing bad will happen to you if you skip a day's news. In fact, it will probably do you good in your mind and in your heart. I was listening to an interview last night of people reflecting on the impact of this pandemic, and they spoke of just how much more being at home, they're spending time on their phones, on their devices. You can check, can't you? What's the screen time? How much time am I spending just flicking, trying to distract myself? Maybe the normal distractions of life have been taken away, and so I'm looking elsewhere. Distractions won't bring us peace. We can only find true peace, true rest in the Lord. And Psalm 91 says, that is yours if you trust him. Repent and rest. Rest in the shelter of the Almighty. And finally, third R, be refined. Refined. There's been lots of talk, hasn't there, of what's life going to be like after the pandemic? What will London be like? What will the rush hour be like? Will it ever be like it used to be? Will people work from home for a lot more now into the future? Will it change that dynamic? What about church life? What will that be like? But perhaps the most important question for us is, what will our faith be like on the other side of the pandemic? No matter where we were before we entered the pandemic, no matter where we were in our faith back in February, where will we be when we're out the other side? We won't have stayed neutral. We'll either have gone one way or the other. And the Bible tells us a third way that we respond to things like this pandemic is that God might be using this to refine us. The Apostle Peter picks up this idea in his first letter, 1 Peter chapter 1. He speaks of all that God has done for him through the Lord Jesus in saving him, in bringing forgiveness. And then in verse 6 he says, in all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. You see what he's saying? In the furnace of suffering, will our faith be found genuine? Are we really trusting in the Lord Jesus? In God's sovereignty, it's one way he can use suffering for our good. Our reliance upon him might become stronger. Our longing for eternity might increase. Our freeing or turning from idols might be shaken into action. Our distractions removed in the refiner's fire. So let me ask you, how has lockdown been for your faith? It's It's been a challenge for us, hasn't it? Church life has been different. The normal groups or activities or way we might serve have been removed. What impact has that had on your faith? It's been a great encouragement to me to see signs of life and change and growth through these past months. Some of us who've chosen to connect in different ways, in new ways. Those that are attending the evening service on Zoom, probably numbering more than we'd normally get in person here. Those attending our missionary prayer evening, as we connect with those we partner in mission with around the world, probably greater than when we met in person here. Those in touch, encouraging each other through WhatsApp messages or phone calls. The families who've devoted a bit more time or found new rhythms for prayer or looking at God's word. For some of us, this refining will have done our faith good. But that means that for some of us as well, maybe this period of time has been a time of drift. Maybe we weren't in great shape in February and this has just made it easier to step further away. Can I flag a warning at this point? We've had months now, haven't we? We don't know how many months into the future church life will be like this. Can I encourage you to move back towards if you've drifted away? Lack of fellowship will damage faith. And there's a danger at the moment that church can be quite convenient, can't it? We don't even have to leave the house. We don't even have to get dressed into clothes that we'd wear if we were coming here. We can stay conveniently at home and watch it at our leisure, at a time that suits us. And maybe church in person was a struggle for you before. Maybe people let you down. Maybe church in person was scary for you before because of different insecurities or a real or perceived shame that you carry. But can I encourage you, please move towards again. Don't drift away. Reach out to someone this week. Don't say no one's reached out to me. That's a cop-out, really. Who will you reach out to? Who will you encourage? Who will you ask for help from? Will you pray for me? Could we meet up and talk? Now, my faith has struggled these past months. Will you help me? Don't drift away. Don't be burnt out in the fiery furnace. Be refined. Your faith is of greater worth than gold, says Peter. So as we face this pandemic, we can be reminded of our need for repentance. We repent. It's a sign of God's judgment on this world and a warning of his future judgment that's coming. We repent. And as we repent, we rest. We rest in God's work, in his salvation, in his care, in his provision. And we might be refined. Which of those three do you need to pay particular attention to, I wonder? Which of those three do you need to talk to someone about this week? Or bring to the Lord in your own quiet times? God is on the throne. He is still sovereign. He is still at work. Even in this pandemic, will we respond in the right ways? Let's pray. Our Father, these are big things. We recognize that this is a trial that we've been living through. A judgment that we're falling under. There is suffering around us, even in our own midst. Father, help us to respond in the right ways. Where we need to repent, would you show us what of, and help us to do that. Where anxiety has got the better of us, where we're fearful, Father, would you help us to rest in your promises, in your presence. And rather than drifting and wasting this time or moving away from you and your people, Father, would you help us to be refined in our faith, to love you more, to rely upon you more, to seek fellowship more. Oh, Father, by your Spirit, would you work in our hearts to make these things happen? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.